The little mic may not work very well. Let's see. Now stop. Let's see in just a minute. You want to just speak naturally? You were saying about just a minute ago about your father. What was his name? Your father's name.
F. Boone Rapier.
F. Boone Rapier.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me make sure that... The following is an interview with Mrs.
I can't hear you now.
All right. I'm just putting the first part on here. Okay. The following is an interview with Mrs. Tate Spaulding by Dixie Hibbs for the Kentucky Oral History Commission, the Prohibition in Nelson County Project. This interview was conducted in Bardstown, Nelson County, Kentucky, on South Fifth Street on the 22nd of September. 23rd of September. What is your birthday?
22nd.
22nd of September. Yes, the birthday of the interviewee here. Okay. Well, Ms. Spaulding, would you give me your name, your full name, and your parents' names, and some of this information right here?
Well, my full. What do you want first? The birth?
That'd be fine. Yeah, your date of birth is fine.
Born September 22nd, 1891.
91.
Place of birth, New Haven in Nelson County, Kentucky. Right. And parents named F. Boone Rapier and Sarah Thompson Rapier. I was educated in parochial schools locally and then attended Loretta Academy in Marion County, conducted by the Larkins.
Right, Sisters Loretta, right.
And graduated from there in 1909.
Very good.
And my husband was J. Lamont Spaulding. No children.
All right, Mr. Spaulding was from Marion County.
Huh?
Your husband was from Marion County?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you want to, you know, you've heard the term prohibition. You've lived through the prohibition period there, 1920 to 1933.
Yes.
What business was your family connected in at that time?
My father, all through my life, was connected with politics.
Politics.
He was county clerk for several terms, county judge, and afterwards went to Frankfort when the legislature was in session, but not as a, he was, I think they called him a, he was in the Senate, door manager in the Senate.
All right, door manager, okay.
There. And then after that, in his later years when he was not able to work out, he did take various jobs as bookkeeper for road builders when they were on the road.
Very good. Then in his political position and his county clerk or the, he dealt with a lot of the distilleries and the distillers and things, and he knew a lot of those people? Or?
Well, I'm sure he did, but now, before I was born, he worked as a gauger.
As a gauger, okay.
At one time. And my father and mother were married 10 years before they had any children. And then they had six in the next 10.
10, all right.
I just got here. I was born pretty late. My mother was about 43 or 4, I think, when I was born.
The well, as a gauger, of course, that's the government officer who
connected with the distilleries.
Right. He would collect the taxes on the whiskey.
Inspecting the warehouses and things like that.
So he was very familiar with it. And what did your husband do? Was he a
banker?
A banker.
Always.
Always a banker. Okay. The during the before Prohibition started in 1920, you are old enough to remember. You say you graduated from college in 1909.
Nine. I married 1950. I have to think when I'm married. I'm quite old. I can.
Okay. Well, let's see how
old. I was married. Either in 1915.
Okay. 15. That'd be 6 years after you graduated from college?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
The, of course.
And went to Lebanon to live.
To live, okay.
And lived there till my husband died, which was exactly 20 years.
20 years. 35.
When he died young. He was 49 and I was 43.
Well then, did Lebanon have a distilling industry over there? Did they have distilling industry over in the Lebanon area? Distilling over in Marion County?
Oh yes, they had a, what was the name of that distillery?
Wasn't Coon Hall or something like that, was it?
No. That was on the rail, on the line. That was a different place.
Right.
That was in Marion County.
Right. Okay.
But that was near where Maker's Mark is.
Oh, okay.
But Wathen's was the big distillery in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Wathen was, and then all the German. Begins with K.
Okay. Camp or let's see. Yeah, that's all right.
Oh, he had two children. One was a doctor. They're, of course, older than I, both of them. What was his name? Well, it was all retired then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When was Prohibition?
1920.
Yes, I remember that well.
Mm-hmm.
Lamont had a friend, Bottom, he indulged sometimes too much, but he was a good fellow and a very highly educated fellow. Mac Henry Bottom, that
Mac
was
Henry
his
Bottom.
Name.
Okay.
And on election day that year, he was very interested in knowing whether it was going to be repealed or not.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up to where I was living. Oh, that afternoon, kind of late, and oh, he was rejoicing. It's going to be repealed, get rid of it. He thought he was against Prohibition, of course. And he stood there and rejoiced and celebrated so long that he was late getting to the polls and didn't get to vote.
That's counting your votes before they're
that used. We always had a good laugh of it. Nobody was more eager to cast his vote. But he was rejoicing before it took place.
This is in 1933 or in the late
30s? I think so.
Somewhere in there?
Uh-huh.
In the 30s, early 30s then, okay.
But my family on both sides were always whiskey people.
Mm-hmm.
Always. My grandfather, my mother's father, had the distillery that he started on his farm, which was over on Knob Creek in LaRue County. Then he afterwards took in Mr. Jimmy Lee Atherton as partner.
Ah.
And so grandfather became ill, and they thought he might not survive. But he told grandmother, hold on to the distillery if anything happens to me.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't.
Ah.
She was glad to get rid of it because grandmother had 10 children, 6 sons. And some of them imbibed too much, and she knew the evils of overindulgence, so she couldn't get rid of it quick enough. And she sold it, their interest, to Mr. Atherton. Then Mr. Atherton moves off of grandmother's place down onto the highway and started his distillery, and the town became known as Athertonville. That's how it got its name.
But and your grandmother that you're talking about there is the Thompson grandparents?
Yes.
Thompson.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Then my Uncle Bob Thompson, who lived to be my age, in fact, a little old, Uncle Bob was 99 when he died, and had a remarkable memory. He went through the Civil War.
Oh, wonderful.
But he used to keep us entertained with his stories about things. And getting back to this liquor business, he and Mr. Atherton worked together. When Atherton bought out, and Uncle Bob was the distiller.
Ah, okay.
And they became friends always until they died, both of them. Mr. Atherton amassed a fortune.
Mm.
and went to Louisville, built a palatial home, oh, up there on one of those, can't think of the location right off, but I know it would come to me. And he and Uncle Bob would exchange this, or rather, Uncle Bob did the visiting. Uncle Bob led a different type of life from Mr. Atherton. To begin with, Mr. Atherton became an invalid, more or less. He had a palatial home up there.
Was it in St. James?
Oh, up there, I know where it is, but I can't think of the name. And he kept a trained nurse with him around the clock. He was that was Mr. Jim.
Right.
He was the father of Peter Lee Atherton, who inherited the distillery and operated always. But Uncle Bob would go see Mr. Atherton annually, once a year, and spend a few days with him. And he told me one time they would reminisce.
Yeah.
And he said, I told Jim, Jim, you and I have both gotten out of life exactly what we wanted. Says you wanted money, and you accumulated and mended. And I wanted a good time, and I've had it.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful, yeah.
And but Uncle Bob married two rich women.
Oh, okay.
I think that helped him along the way of having his good time.
Let's say it greased his good times, huh?
Yeah. He never did any real hard work, although they had a good living. He had four daughters by his first wife. And after she died, several years after, he remarried. And although he was quite elderly, he had another child.
Another child.
Another girl. They were all his children were girls. And what was I going to say something about? Oh, Mr. Ernest Fulton's father and Mr. John Fulton, they were all living in those days. They were our lawyers, town lawyers. And Uncle Bob would always come here on county court day. We lived out here where Ms. Rachel lived, who recently sold that place.
Right.
And that was horse and buggy days, of course. And when you'd come, you'd often spend the night, more often than not. And Uncle Bob would go up on Court Square with the older, his people his age, and they would all reminisce. Did you ever know or know of Miss Carrie Cosby Fulton?
Oh, yes, I knew of her. I don't think I knew her,
well,
but I knew
I wouldn't
of her.
Think you'd remember her. Well, she was a very highly intelligent, attractive woman, and married late in life Mr. Fulton, who had grown children. And the story goes that I heard them tell that Uncle Bob and Mr. Fulton were up on Court Square one day talking when Miss Carrie appeared on the scene. And the mistress said, Carrie, come here a minute. I'm going to tell you something. Says, you know Bob Thompson? She said, oh, yes. And he says, you know the man got married when he's after 70 years old and he's had another child? And, oh, they thought that was absurd. Mr. Fulton, he said, now you believe that or not? And she said, Miss Fulton said, you know, I think she baked that baby someplace and all. And Miss Carey said to Mr. Fulton, well, Mr. Fulton, you're not too sure about your own. You don't know any different. Well, Uncle Bob wouldn't take anything from that. That set Mr. Fulton down.
That's right. Oh, you're not too sure about your own, huh? We were talking about the lawyers, the Fultons and things. When they closed the distillery, when they closed the distilleries here with Prohibition, it had some type of effect on the whole economy, I'm sure. I mean, whether it was attorneys or farmers or what, do you remember any of that?
When that happened, I have to tell you, I wasn't living here.
Okay. Well, happened in Marion County when that happened? I mean, do you remember whether your husband said anything about the banks losing any money or
No, I don't recall anything about the the bank for Lamont Park, no, there were three banks in Lebanon, as far as I know. They were all prosperous. My husband went in as a clerk, but became cashier, which was that considered the head of the bank, just have one cashier, you know. And he died young, he was only 49.
Well, the, let's see what other things. We talked a little bit before we started recording about the moonshiners. There were moonshiners around during
COVID. Oh, yes, we heard of that. And as a child, I recall the vicinity of several of them were out here on what they called the Monk's Road. Mm-hmm. Went out to New Haven and turned in on the Monk's Road. Mm-hmm. And we had a young white girl helping us at home at that time, whose father was a moonshiner.
Well, this was before Prohibition even, so their moonshining went on even before it. That way. So then there was a market for it even before the Prohibition came in.
Well, because it was so cheaper, so much cheaper.
You didn't have the federal tax on it.
Sold by the jug.
Yeah. Well, then when they closed the distilleries, what happened to the do you remember anything, or did you hear any talk about what happened to any of the distilleries?
Well, the distilleries, it incapacitated a lot of work, you know.
Yeah.
People were laid off work, and it was hard. People were searching. But those eras have come all along.
All along.
Every generation has them, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting point to think of, that wasn't that was just a period to wait out until something better came along. And when, like you're saying, you're talking about the repeal of it.
But we had three distilleries here, you know. Mm-hmm. We had Tom Moore, and we had Mattingly Moore. That was Mr. Eaglin's distillery. And then there was one out on the Boston.
Walker? Was it a Walker?
And on the Boston Pike at the edge of town.
Right.
And I can't think what that one was called, but it was a prominent one. There were three very prominent ones.
What about out there at Nazareth? There was one on the railroad close to
Withrow.
Nazareth. Withrow.
Yes, yes, there was one out there.
And
Greenbrier.
Greenbrier, right.
Was over here. All this, the area was full of them. Just, you couldn't turn around before you run into them.
Run into a distillery, okay. Do you remember any of the distilleries or any of the, a factory being set up to help provide employment to any of these people who were out of work, or any plans to try to open a distillery with some other use? Or I'm reaching way back.
Well, and the most I could recall about that was road building.
Road building, okay.
And the joke was about these ex-workers, distillery workers. You see them leaning on shovels.
Oh, okay. That,
so they were all out on the highway, supposed to be working, but were leaning on shovels.
Okay. Now they were working for the state highway. Were they working for the state highway or the county?
All highways.
Always.
We had no highways until we had automobiles.
Right.
And I was graduated from school before I ever saw an automobile.
Oh, yeah. You've certainly seen a lot then in your lifetime then.
Well, you know, my father used to say he had lived to see everything invented. He thought he had, but he hadn't.
He hadn't, right.
Because, of course, the Edison talking machine and phonograph, those were unheard of things. And he saw the railroad being built over there at New Haven when... Yeah. And he said, and I lived almost long enough to see it go out.
To go out, right.
So I come in and I saw it go out.
Yeah. And the telephone, of course.
The old telephones and all, no, they were unheard of, those things. Mm. And phonographs and what were the first things? They weren't called phonographs, they were called Victrolas.
Victrolas,
And, they were wonderful. We just thought they were wonderful. Well, then we got told we made our own records.
Oh, how did you do that?
We'd get the cylinders, you could buy them. They weren't stamped, I guess you'd call it. And we'd put them on like you put that thing on something. and turn it on, and then we'd talk and sing and.
I didn't know you could do that.
And, you know, R. H. Eden had a beautiful voice, and his children have records of his voice.
How wonderful.
That were made back in those days. And when he was a Catholic, and so many of his children, well, two of them became religious, and others married. And at all the celebrations, the same Ave Maria was sung. And records were made of Ari's singing that Schubert's Ave Maria.
That's nice. Isn't
which
that
is a priceless to the family,
right,
you
that's
know.
That's right. Now, can you give me an idea of what period of time you're talking about when you did that record making? Was it the early 1900s or 1920, or I'm trying to think when you.
Well, his children were old enough to have to adopt professions, so
I just try to get some idea of what.
I would say that was in the 30s or 40s.
Okay. Well, I wasn't sure how what time period you were talking
about. I would
about.
Think so. Have to be for them to be grown children.
Right. Okay. That's wonderful. Uh-huh. 30s and 40s. Of course, I know I've talked to other people about Will Stiles, who was your brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Right. And we discussed how he came about his first distillery. You know, he wasn't a distiller.
No.
No, he was, I call him a cattle buyer. Is that the right word? He bought and sold cattle and farms and things like that.
Will Stiles, you could say, never had any certain profession.
Oh, okay.
He operated mainly on trading, I would
trading.
Say, if anything.
Okay.
He would trade anything.
Anything, okay.
And Cocky Croom was living then, and the Crooms had some wealth. Mrs. Croom was they got their money from Mrs. Croom. Oh, their father's name was Sam Sy.
Mm-hmm.
And there were several of those children, and one of them is living, or one of the descendants, is it?
Mrs. Moore. Ms.
Moore.
Yeah, right.
Yes,
Moore,
she's
right.
one of them.
Right, I thought about
well,
it.
Well, Cocky couldn't always have as much money, pocket money, as he wanted. So he thought up the scheme of he would go to the store and they could buy anything. And he'd buy shoes and things that were more or less expensive. Will Stiles' size.
Oh, okay, all right.
And then we met and trade them to
trade
Will.
Trade them to him, okay. We're doing fine.
I don't know whether any of his people appreciate
those
stories or not, but they were true. But I say he would do that. And Mr. Demery, and Will got to be more or less kind of partners at one time. And Mr. Demery was a little higher educated, I would say, than Will. Both of them just had county schools educated, but Demery went a little higher, I believe. And Will used to say that they'd go out on a trade. They one time bought up a lot of overcoats.
A lot of overcoats, okay.
Raincoats.
Raincoats.
Oh, they bought a stack of them. And they sold all those things, Will and Demery. And Will Demery would say to Will, "All right now, Will, let's just go and we'll play nonchalant."
Nonchalant.
Will says, "What do you mean nonchalant? I don't know what you're talking about."
Play nonchalant.
Oh, we used to have a lot of fun teasing the two of them, you know.
I can see that.
But Will was a born trader. And then he got, when he made his big money, he got trading with into whiskey.
Into whiskey.
And he did. And he also was a booker at the racetrack.
Ah, okay.
And after I was a widow, I became friends of old Colonel, I've forgotten his
the
name,
Colonel
but
Williams.
Anyway, I went to his home one time there in Louisville.
Colonel
and
Williams.
He told me a lot about Will. He was at one time, was the head of the detective agencies in Louisville.
Oh, I bet
this
that was
colonel.
Fun. Okay.
And he caught Will on the racetrack.
Okay.
And penalized him, you know. And Will was then trading with a politician from Kansas City who used to come here at the track and put up thousands and thousands, and Will would book him.
Okay.
And Will made his money 9 times out of 10, or he wouldn't have kept it up, you know.
That's right, that's right.
But that was illegal.
Yeah.
At that time. And but this colonel, I wish I could remember his name, but in after years, I know we became friends, and he knew I was sister-in-law, Will,
yeah.
And he would say, you know, I liked Mr. Stiles, and I would hate to have to penalize him, but I had to do my duty.
Kept apologizing. Well, that's
but that Lord, he paid those fines.
That was
chicken.
It. Well, that period of the around here, you know, when whiskey was so important and the economy was so important for us to have it shut down, then they had to look around for something else, and maybe this trading was a way of, his way
you
of.
You know, Will was left money. He was an only child, and he was left money. His father died when he was quite small, and his mother remarried later on, and Will never liked that stepfather, and so he didn't live with him or have much contact with him. As a consequence, Miss Titchener, that was his mother's second husband's name, she fell out with Mr. Titchener too.
Oh, okay.
And she would live around in different places. Well, when Will became prosperous, which he did, financed her. He gave her, I don't know that I would know if I couldn't recall it because I never knew, but I know it was an ample sum of money for her to live on it well. He gave her property where that store is up on Main Street, dry goods store on the right-hand side.
The Louisville store?
Louisville store.
Louisville store?
He gave Miss Titchener that store.
Oh, wow.
And at that time, it had apartments up above it. She got all the income from that. That was hers. He gave it to her. Mm-hmm. But she wouldn't stay there. She'd go down to different towns around. She had friends, and she would love to visit with them, and they loved her.
Yeah.
She was a good company,
yeah.
And she'd visit with them, but Dixie, I'm afraid I haven't been of much value.
I just turned that over so that we could continue our conversation.
This is yours, son.
Yes, all right. Thank you. This is to be sure that we didn't have a stop there. We were in the middle of a story or something. We're talking about, you said, of course, you didn't have any children, but you had nieces and nephews and contact with with
great nieces and nephews,
and
I couldn't live without them.
Right, big family that way.
They're all good to me.
Right.
Very thoughtful of me.
Well, you've been good to them as they grew up and represented them.
Well, it was a great disappointment to us that we had no children, because Lamont loved them and I did too. As a consequence, we always had some in our home.
Right.
And as I was in Lebanon, this crew in Bardstown would bid for which ones get to go to Aunt Tate's.
That's right.
Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter or whenever the holidays come. We always had some of them.
Right.
Then those Dawson boys in Louisville, they'd come out every summer during the Chautauqua. Our house was headquarters. And Nancy Arnold,
right.
She was one of them that was there, and she had a bicycle.
She bring it with her?
The transportation in those days was automobile, didn't have buses. And she'd bring her bicycle over. Then they'd fight over who would get to ride the bicycle. And I have vivid pictures now, many funny things. One was our bedroom windows had a view of the street. And one morning, oh, it's daylight, I happened to just turn over and look out the window, and one of these red-headed Dawsons visited me and Nancy's bicycle, just riding and riding before daylight came.
Because he didn't have to worry about
it. Or he knew he wouldn't get it where she got him.
Oh. You know, something else I thought about earlier, you know, as we talk, I think of things and then I forget to ask you. Did you ever have any medicinal whiskey prescriptions? Did you ever get a prescription from the doctor to go get any medicinal whiskey during Prohibition? Did you ever see any of those?
No, I've had plenty of doctor's prescriptions otherwise, but not connected with Prohibition. I've had 9 major operations performed on me.
Well, I just.
But I'm still here.
Still here, you sure are. This, but I know that there was a real market in those prescriptions in the big cities. I just didn't know if out here if you had to have that prescription or
no.
Everybody knew people who had whiskey, so
no.
It was that way. The, did you ever know anybody, pardon me, did you ever know anybody that was arrested for transporting whiskey or during that period?
I can't think of
it. Well, that's fine.
Okay.
I am thinking of other things on the, was there any temperance or temperance leagues or ladies against drinking? You know, they have these anti-alcohol groups that would march.
The APAs.
APAs, okay. Well, did they have anything like that around Marion County or Nelson County or?
All those groups, I think, were everywhere, more or less. And some of them more active in some vicinities. And then they had something else, too, that was opposed to liquor drinking. I forgot what that was called, but personally, I never was involved much with those associations because my own people and my husband people always leaned the other way, if anything.
Well, I didn't know if they were very strong or if it was just small groups, like you say, all over. Were they, did you ever hear sermons in the church? Of course, I know you're Catholic, but did you ever hear the priest talk against drinking or against the distilling?
Well, the prohibition or the elections, that was never taught from the pulpit.
Okay.
Never. Now, morals,
yeah,
drinking to excess or any of those things may have been, I can't recall whether they were or they weren't, any more than any other morals. But as far as election, things like that, it never came up in our church. Never.
The your father was in politics, and of course he knew, was he alive during the Prohibition period? When did your father die?
Papa died 6 months before the month.
Oh.
And that, he died in
34.
In the fall. And Lamont died 1935, so he died in 34.
So he saw Prohibition come in, and then he saw it rescinded.
Go out.
Uh-huh, that way.
But his great expression was, it ruined the country.
Ruined the country.
Prohibition ruined the country.
What do you think he meant by that?
He said it made thieves, rogues, and liars out of everybody. But never stopped people from drinking.
No.
And made many drunkards, he thought, because they'd get it in quantities and drink more, whereas if they could go in buy a drink.
Yeah.
Old Papa was very anti-prohibition.
Was he any position, an elected position or anything during Prohibition? You said he was a county clerk, but I mean, then he went to the legislature as
well,
a door?
Oh, yes, he was bound to have been during Prohibition.
That way.
Because everybody else was too, you know. His opponents, I mean, in his races that he would run. He ran for county clerk several terms, and then finally was defeated there, and then he ran for county judge and was elected county judge. And finally lost out there too, which all of them do,
right. Mm-hmm.
But he knew nothing else but politics, practically. And then got on as a representative up at Frankfort.
The, trying to think of what else we were. You know, we still have, in Kentucky, we have so many counties, and we have the local option elections, which have created a lot of dry counties, you know, where you can't purchase alcoholic beverages. Do you remember anything about there being dry counties in the early part of the century, or any part of Nelson County being dry? Did you ever hear that term, or have to?
I remember a lot of local option talk and all, mm-hmm. but I don't know that I can help you there, although I know some were dry and some were wet, as they called it.
Right. Well, I didn't know if that was a strong political thing that, you know, like you're saying, your father was more pro-whiskey in terms of the economy and the industry. And I didn't know whether that was ever used against him in elections, or that people felt that strongly about it.
Wherever the people were, wherever the counties were wet, mm-hmm. the inhabitants of the dry countries visited them, got their liquor.
All right. They were not ignored by the rest
they
of the
made the wet countries more prosperous.
That's
the wet counties, I mean.
More prosperous. That's wonderful.
Yes, they did.
Well, I'm afraid they still do that. Still do that, yeah.
There's some things you can't legislate, I think. Morals have to be inhibitive in the person. Right. You can't make a person moral by making a law.
That your father said it made liars and rogues and thieves out of everybody, huh? Out of a lot of people, I guess you'd say.
Dixie, I'm going to ask you a personal question.
All right.
I hope you won't resent it.
Well, let me see. All right, we are, the answer to the personal question really didn't have anything to do with this, so that's why I didn't record that. Uh-huh. Tell yes on that. One other thing that went through my mind a minute ago, you said that Will Stiles, of course, it was a took the bets at the racetrack, and he had some connections in Kansas City. Do you know of any people that came from Chicago or St. Louis or some of the big cities in here to buy whiskey? Was there any trade back and forth with any of those? I don't have to have names. I'm just wondering if there was any.
No, the only person of much importance was that man from Kansas City. And he was a very prominent politician, that man. And you would know his connection if I could think of his name.
Well, that was fine.
But my memory doesn't work very quickly like it used to. Mm-hmm. Things come back. I'm not completely senile.
No, you're not.
But sometimes it takes a long time for the things to get back. But that man's name, I remember that man from Kansas City very well.
Well, I know that some of the information we've been getting talks about the Moors went out in Colorado and set up a distillery and different things like that. So I didn't know if you knew of any.
Well, at one time, after Prohibition was repealed, Will opened up the Withrow Distillery out there. And now, what is that man's name? A group of Jews came down here from New York. You remember Jane Newman?
Yes. Yes.
Well, and Mr. Newman was Jane's husband. Okay. He and Will, they operated Withrow Distillery out there for a while. Mm-hmm. And then I think, truthfully, I think they fell out. Mm-hmm. I think Will discovered that Mr. Newman was trying to outsmart him. And I always thought Will could just act as smart as most of the Jews.
Yeah.
And he was able to protect himself, so they separated
right.
at that time. But Jane Newman and Nanny were great friends then, and Beat and Amy and all of them went together a lot. And at that time, and all those old memories, now they're all dead and gone, I think. I don't know whether Jane might be still living, because Jane was really a Russian by birth, but she evidently was brought to New York with her family as an infant, more or less. She was raised, and she went into acting. She was sent to New York City, what do they call it? Where they have the Follies.
The Rockefeller Center?
Rockefeller Center.
Rockefeller Center, uh-huh.
And she was an actress there at one time. Mm. And she was, there was quite a disparity in ages between her and Mr. Newman. Mm-hmm. Mr. Newman was quite a bit older than Jane, but
they lived here?
Huh?
They lived here in town. They didn't just
Oh, yes, and they rented. They never bought property. Mm-hmm. But at one time, when Nanny and Will lived where, up there.
Union Station?
On the corner, where there's a filling station
right,
uh-huh. now.
Third and Broadway.
Well, then Will bought Shawnee House,
mm-hmm.
and they moved up there. Then Jane and Mr. Newman moved in that house down there.
Mm-hmm.
Then at one time, they ran this place across the street where Daisy Moore lived. Well, they lived over there for a while. I doubt if you'd remember it. Because, Dixie, I've been in this house 33 years.
33 years. Wonderful.
And that was long before I bought this place.
Right.
That 40 years ago, I would say, those things are beyond your memory.
Well, I can remember 40
years ago. Well,
really,
you can remember 40
really
years ago, but you have childhood memories.
Yes, that's right. I don't remember the other. No, I don't have much memory.
Which are different from.
Right.
Little pictures have big ears, though,
oh,
sometimes.
Yes.
They hear lots of things.
That's right. That's why I said that this is a situation where hearsay testimony doesn't matter because
Don't always hear the same.
No, that
that's
way.
Right.
On this.